Hey, welcome back to another episode of O Word with Corey Elijah. Today, we're joined by Betsy Aid of the Well-Known Strangers. She's most famously known for her appearance on season 16 of The Voice, where she was on Team John Legend, Team Kelly Clarkson, and Team Adam Levine, and also making it to the top 24. She's a singer-songwriter from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and our conversation is fantastic. Before we get into that, I just want to make sure you guys check out our sponsors, me, CoreyElijah.com. That's where you're able to find any kind of updates from me, my merch, all of that good stuff. You're going to want to stop by CoreyElijah.com, pick up your Corey is Fire t-shirts, and, you know, have a good time with it. And if you guys are interested in using this space to advertise for your business, reach out to me at CoreyElijah@gmail.com, and we can definitely set up some sort of advertising space for you here on the podcast. So thank you for taking out a little time to listen to my spiel. Let's get on into the podcast. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of O Word with Corey Elijah. And today I have an amazing guest with me, Betsy Aid of the Well-Known Strangers. Betsy, thank you so much for taking some time out to talk with me today. How's it been going?
You know, I'd say pretty good considering, you know, the temperature of the dogs barking around. I'm gonna shut my door. I'm hanging in. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for taking time out. I'm doing great. I can't complain. I'm glad that I am on this side of the camera right now, opposed to being on the other side of the camera where, you know, people see me a lot of the time too. These scenarios are a lot more my speed, I would say. So like I said, thanks so much for taking some time out of the day. For people that don't know you, I mean, your biggest thing, I suppose, that people may know you from was your appearance on the 16th season of The Voice. Yes. And then also, you know, you're a musician. You played with the Well-Known Strangers. But, you know, if you can just give us like a brief rundown of you, maybe what got you into music and what got you to where you are right now.
Yeah. So, I was on the season 16 of The Voice, and that was about 2 years ago now. That's probably the biggest platform that I've ever had as a musician, which I had been so thankful for, and I still am thankful for. But as far as like music goes, when I started music was, I think it was really listening to my stepmom sing Christian hymns in the car when we were going off on family trips. My brother got into choral music when he was in high school, and I discovered some acoustic, like the idea of being in a room with just voices. So all the a cappella stuff, like, I really latched on. So I started, my brother is a songwriter, so I kind of followed his footsteps throughout pretty much my whole life. And I think he came home from leave one day. He served in the Air Force, and he came home and he showed us his first song that he's ever written. And from then, I just fell in love with the idea of songwriting, because it gives you that space to say things. And we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, kind of being an introvert and not really, you know, liking our time to ourselves and enjoying other people as well, but still, you know, reveling in the solidarity of your own thoughts. So songwriting is a space for me to tell my story. And I fell in love with that idea. I bopped around, I sang backup in my brother's band called The Other Side, and then reconnected a few years later with another band member from The Other Side, and we tried to do a little songwriting. And then I met Joe Adamek, which he is now one of my best friends, and we really connected at a deep level with, you find people in a professional field that you're in, and you kind of feel the same thing, like you are there with them. And I found that with Joe. So we became the Well-Known Strangers about 5, maybe 6 years ago. And it's been a journey. It's been like ups and downs, and, you know, in any artistic business, like you know yourself, it's a give and take. And if you really believe in what you're doing, then you're exactly where you need to be. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, this will never go away. There's a lot of stuff, you know, there's jobs that you got to take and bills that you got to pay. Music will always be a part of my life in some way or another. It's just inside me, 100%. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And as a creative, I completely understand where you're coming from. It's like, sometimes you have to, you know, you have to bite the bullet. You may end up doing like a job or taking something that you don't necessarily want to do, but you know that it's going to supplement your creativity. And if you weren't able to release, you know, those creative juices, you probably would just, who knows how you would feel? It probably wouldn't be good, you know? So, you know, sometimes you have to just suck it up, do what you have to do to, you know, to live the dream that you want to live, you know? So I mean, I think that's awesome. My brother is a musician as well. So, I mean, I have seen kind of firsthand his experience too, kind of the ups and downs, the goods, the bads, the traveling, the sometimes not traveling, the getting gigs sometimes not getting gigs. And then
the grind
scenarios like we have this year where it's like, actually, no one can do anything. Like, I also do panel hostings as well at like comic cons and stuff. And I was super pumped for the year. I had like my schedule all filled out. I was like, I'm going to San Diego. I'll be in New York. I'm going to be in Chicago. And then I did one gig. And then I had to clear my entire schedule. And I was like, oh, man.
I know.
So, and it's one of those things.
Yeah, we had one of our most fantastical summers scheduled for 2020. And this was included our first international tour to the island of Tiree, which is just off of Scotland. So we were supposed to go there for a couple of weeks, and that didn't happen. We had a few things scheduled. It sucks, but you just, you know, with this whole thing, I try to keep in mind the idea of, you know, you could probably get yourself into a very sticky situation mentally and run yourself into brick wall after brick wall. But if you take it day by day and deal with it as best as you can, and, you know, utilize the resources that you have. If you, you know, are an artist and you paint, make yourself paint, even if you're not motivated. Like, you have to kind of make yourself do these things to get through the sadness of it all. But I don't know. I think we're all doing our best. Is this where we get into the deep dark discussions and stuff?
we don't have to. I mean, honestly, I try to find the light in the darkness. You know, I've been saying that a lot, and I probably
repeat myself over and over saying that, but honestly, like, everything negative that has happened, you know, we've been in like a very, very dark spot, especially being in Kenosha. This is one of like one of the weirdest things that could have happened, honestly, because dealing with the pandemic is one thing already, but then for something that happened here, you know, in our hometown to happen on top of that, and like the
you'd never think in Kenosha this would ever happen, like never ever. We seem to be, but it's just the exposure of it. You're ripping open a wound that needs to be healed from the inside out, and that's what's happening. And I think as terrible as it seems, I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. I hope it to be a beautiful thing in the long run if we put the work in.
And I feel like it's going to be, personally, you know, just because I've seen a lot of growth from people, you know. I've seen growth in myself. I've seen growth in people that were in bad spots, you know, but were able to kind of like hunker down, take the time, realize like there's nothing that we can do about what, you know, the spot that we're in, and kind of just, you know, grabbing it by the horns and trying to shape their own destiny, you know. That's what I've been trying to do as much as possible. I know a lot of people that are close to me as well, or even some people that have just reached out to me and just said, hey man, like, I listened to some of the things that you're saying, or even just, you know, have been looking around and seeing a lot of the people in the community doing a lot of great things, and it just has motivated me to, you know, keep doing that as well. And, you know, like I keep saying, find the light in the darkness. You know, the times could definitely be a lot better, but the planet is still here and we're all still alive. So, you know, we got to keep on trucking, because once we get past this, what are we going to do? You know, so let's be prepared for what happens after this is all over.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everybody responds to you if you lead people into love. And love, I mean, that sounds silly, but
I feel that, though.
People are very, very hard. And I come from a very liberal family. And, you know, there's a lot of even like, and I believe 100%, but, you know, there's things that have been happening right now that we really need to, it all seems like we all have the same ideals. And I feel like within the last few years, like, we're all talking about the same kinds of things, but for some reason, we can't find a middle ground to figure it out. And that, I think that's kind of a sad thing, but through, you know, through the tragedy that's happening, like, we, like I said, it's not a Band-Aid situation anymore. Like, things are changing, and I'm learning a lot that, like, I had no idea about. And you know, I feel silly, and, you know, but I think, like, if you are able to, like, strip yourself down and know and keep in mind the thing that we need to do most is to find a common ground and work together. And I, you know, it might take a few years, it might take decades or centuries, but we have a lot of work to do.
Conversations are being had more and more, and that's kind of that's where it starts, because like you alluded to, like, everybody seems to want the same thing, but everybody, you know, there's just different approaches to it, and people are disagreeing at approaches, and then while you're disagreeing on the approach, you're not taking care of, you know, the goal that you both want to, you know, to accomplish. So I think with the conversations continuing to be being had, things will definitely get to where we need them to be. I have faith in the community. You know, the people here are really, really cool. based off of the kind of issues that we have and the reactions to like myself, I feel like we're going in a good direction, you know, because based off of the, you know, the what people are saying is going on, you know, and a lot of it is very valid. Some of it, you know, some people stretch, but sometimes that's just how things go. But at the end of the day, for people to reach out to me, you know, and be super nice to me, I can only speak for myself, but a lot of people that are reaching out to me are the types of people that you would think, you know, wouldn't necessarily do it, you know? Given the tragedy, you know, it's very promising for me to at least feel that we're going to get into the right direction just based off of the reactions that I've been getting towards myself. Yeah. So.
Yes. And I think you're mending, you are putting together a fabric that just you being out in the community and documenting and having conversations when it's the hardest. I think a lot of people respect that about you. And I think you get the most honesty during those moments. And, you know, that's the work. And that's what I think, you know, with some of my close friends, I have a hard time having those conversations with. Maybe we're like-minded, but, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. It's not going to fix anything. It's you going out into the trenches and documenting and asking people, no matter what they look like or who they are, what they're thinking, you know, how they feel. That's the mushy part about America. That's what I love about this country is. It's what I hope for more of is to sit and have the time to do just what we're doing right now, you know, to sift through it all, you know, hard conversations, easy conversations, just, you know, don't be afraid to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. For as long as people, you know, continue to realize too that words are really just words, and as long as someone isn't threatening your life, opinions are opinions. Let's just agree to disagree sometimes and keep it moving, because we all live so close to each other, you know, and let's not, I know they say like keep your friends close and your enemies closer, but I would just rather not have any enemies at all. But, you know, I just think personally things would go better that way. Of course it's not feasible that you would have no enemies, but have very few, and I feel like the community will thrive that way. But I want to kind of get into your experience on The Voice, because I mean,
yeah, cool.
You had a very, very unique experience. I mean, you worked with three of the judges. You worked first with John Legend, I believe, right? And then Kelly Clarkson, and then Adam Levine, right? So
that's right. Yep.
How was that experience? When you picked John, you seemed to really love him. So like, let's get into your experience with, maybe let's just break down a little bit of each of them.
Okay. So, the process was really intense. So there was three auditions that I did to get to the chair turn. So the first part of the show, you see the four chairs, and then it's called the blind auditions, where you go out and you sing your song and you have four chairs that are turned away from you, and you sing your song and you have like pretty close to a month where you're preparing for a minute and a half of a song. A regular song would be like three minutes and 30 seconds. So they obviously have to like break it down to be TV ready. So you prepare and they hook you up with a coach and you take care of your body, you get your rest, and you know, obviously it's very stressful. So you get to the blind audition, and they have friends and family. So they have people off to the side that are watching and hoping, you know, your family's off watching a TV screen while you're performing. And so I got up there, I went, I sang the song Hunger from Florence and the Machine, which is now one of my favorite songs ever. And it took about, I think, like 30 to 40 seconds, and John Legend pressed his button, he turned around. And once you get, if you get one chair turn, then you go to the next round. So that was all that I was really hoping for, is just that one chair turn. So John turned, and then Adam Levine turned. And before, you know, my son Talon, he is a huge fan of John Legend. I'm getting them mixed up. So I immediately said, okay, he turned first, and Adam Levine might not have turned if John didn't turn. So I'm going with John. And on top of that, like, my kid is a huge fan of John. So I went with John. And then the next round is called a battle round. So you go, you battle against your own teammate. So I went, I battled Lisa Ramey. She's from New York. She's amazing, amazing person. So we did a duet, and it was from Brandi Carlile. It was called The Joke. And it was it's a beautiful song. I think she won a Grammy actually for the album. So anyways, we did the song, and Lisa won the battle, and then Kelly Clarkson stole me. So the judges have like certain steals and saves. So she used her last steal for me. So I went on to the next round, and then we did what was called a cross battle. So I went up against someone else from another team. So I was on Kelly's team for a hot minute, and then I went up against Kim Cherry. I think she was on Blake's team, Blake Shelton's team. And Kim won that round. So I got pretty good at losing out in LA, which, you know, losing can also be a lesson in your life. So I lost that battle, but then Adam Levine and John Legend turned around again and saved me. So I went on Adam Levine's team. So I got a little bit of time with three out of the four judges. So, or coaches is what they call them.
Nice. How did it feel to be saved twice? Like, did you have like a relationship with them at all? Did they really just like genuinely just thought you were a great singer, and they were like, man, we can't let her go, not this year?
Yeah, I think it was that. I think they saw something in me, that like the fight in me. They knew that I've been in the business for a while. Like, I'm sure that they read up on you after the blind audition, because I believe really like the blind audition is literally a blind audition. Like, they have their backs to you, and if they like what they hear, they'll turn around, and then you're in the competition, and then, you know, they can
do the show,
Google stuff. You or, you know, research you or whatever. But I've been in the business for a while, and I've been on the grind, and I'm a natural performer, I think, as far as like being on stage. It's, you know, I feel every song that I sing if I believe in it. So I think they saw that light in me. So I think, you know, I don't know. It's also, at the same time, it's like also Hollywood. So you never really know. You never really know if they're there with you or not. But as far as our experience, they were so good to us. From the producer to the people involved with friends and family and like the drivers, like everybody they were all so, so great. So it was really a wonderful experience.
Oh man, that's great. That's great to hear too, because I mean, I watch a lot of these, these talent shows, talent competition programs like The Voice or like AGT and stuff like that. And the one thing I always wonder, because it's like, they always seem so nice to them on television. It's like, are they really, really that nice though? So that's great to hear that they actually do like care. And I imagine that would be a really, really cool job to have too, especially if you're into music and stuff like that. So, man, that's great to hear. So any friendships that you've developed when you were out there that maybe you still have, or any connections, anything?
There's a lot of connections. I think that, if you're on the same season, all the contestants are like, you're part of my family. Like this, it is an unbelievable experience that you went through. And it doesn't matter how long you were on for, you went through the whole thing together. And like I said, the audition process alone takes, 3-4 months. Like you see each other here and there, you make the connections. I think Lisa and I, still connect. There's Lisa Ramey and then Abby Cash. We were even talking about doing like a Cozy Christmas tour here and there at some point. But, they got really busy. Lisa actually was on the Kamala Harris campaign when she was running for president. Mm-hmm. So she is on this path of greatness with her music. And but as far as like other people, if we needed a place to stay or we needed to know, what's a good place in Georgia, and they're in Georgia, they'd be like, you can crash out at my place and we'll show you all around. So it's kind of like a family thing. Yeah,
that's awesome. It's like a sorority or fraternity, whatever it would be, a mixed scenario that. That's awesome. That's really cool. And that's actually really cool to hear as well, just because I know musicians tend to be really cool, lax people for the most part, but not always. Some of them have egos and things like that. It's cool to know that experience can even bring different egos and things together, and the networking aspect of it as well, meeting people from all around the country and knowing people that are musicians from all around the country kind of allows you to have a contact, kind of wherever you go as well, which only benefits everyone. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was going on with all the contestants. Like there's a lot of people who hooked up and did even collaborations. So they shot out some singles with each other. So yeah, it was neat. It was just like one of those things where, I mean, it certainly helped us and our band get a little more notoriety and a little more visibility. It hasn't really changed us 100% completely. It doesn't really throw you into stardom, and unless it might help if you're around the area, but coming from Wisconsin, it's not really something that helps your career 100%. Like once you get it on The Voice, forget about it. You're done.
Right.
So,
it's cool. I think that's a cool aspect of the whole thing too, because a lot of people kind of have this this idea that you make it on TV and it's like, oh, it's a rep. They're, you know, they're to the moon. They have $7 billion right now, and all, you know, and all this stuff. Or even when a lot of people just happen to generally know you, you know, like even like my situation, like I wasn't on television, and sometimes people approach me and I'm like, yo, like, hey, I literally am just a regular person still, you know? So it's the perception thing is probably crazy. But one thing I thought that was amazing though, and it kind of highlights, it goes back to our conversation on the community here. Like from day one, like it just, everyone was behind you, you know, at least locally, like the community came together. Anyone that was even from right. like the surrounding areas, like people in Racine want to claim Kenosha, because, you know, which generally doesn't yeah. happen too much, you know? So that was the thing that I thought was really, really cool. You know, I wasn't aware of who you were, you know, before everything happened, but I just, the ethos of being in Kenosha, and it's like, oh, Betsy Aid is on The Voice. I'm like, oh, someone from Kenosha's on The Voice. Let me check it out, you know? And it's just like watching the performances and seeing you doing well and moving forward. It just makes you feel good. It kind of gives you that feeling like, hey, like I can actually go out there. I can be from Kenosha. I can be from anywhere and, you know, try to live my dreams, you know? So that's super motivating. And then also, you know, you just being real about the situation too, and being like, hey, it's not going to make you like what you think you might be, but it will mm-hmm. give you a boost. And it's cool to see you continuing to navigate, you know, doing what you need to do, continuing to play, releasing music, and continuing to move forward. I know you dropped an EP this year, the Awaken EP. You want to kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we did. Kind of a feel of, so we've gone through a few transitions within the last few years with band arrangement, and these songs are kind of a place where we're coming out of our shell that we kind of surrounded ourselves in, our self-made shell. We're finally at this really happy place in our band. Like we have, you know, how collaborating as an artist, you know, it really gets hairy and it gets rough. And but with this group that we have right now, it just feels right, and I'm so excited for the next few EPs that we have coming out, because it's going to be even better. But yeah, we have, so just to talk about a couple of the songs that are on this EP, Awaken is one of them, the title track. And that's kind of about exactly that, just coming out and being happy with what something or some issue that has been dragging you down. It's the process, which is a beautiful thing. And when you're in it, it feels so heavy and it feels so wrong, and it feels like you should be doing something else, but it's the perseverance through something that you really believe in and coming out of it and then seeing yourself, you know, this is something, it's like a, this is something that I suffered through. This is exactly what I have been working for. Like, I'm proud of this moment. So that's kind of the idea of Awaken. The other song is, it's just kind of a fun, loving, light up my summer. It's just a summer song. And we featured a lot of different businesses throughout Kenosha. And we wanted to do that. We did that on purpose because Kenosha is such a beautiful place. I think it's like a gold mine where people don't really know. It's one of those, like if you're a tourist, if you fall into Kenosha, you're going to fall in love with it. So we featured a few different places in Kenosha, and we worked with Alex from the Orpheum. Do you know Alex? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he shot him. It was DreamWorks Productions, I think it's called. I'm getting that wrong. Backyard Dreams. Yeah. So he shot that video. It was amazing. And then the other song that I think really sticks out is a song called The Show. And that's about, I wrote that specifically about my son. He's 12 years old right now. And he's breaking away from this, like, I could see him finally turning into like the little adult that he's going to become. And so the idea is, of letting go, but still keeping close, this wonderful human being that you've seen grow up, and which seems to me to be really hard. Like I really struggled through, and I know some of my friends have told me about situations where they have a really hard time of letting them go and letting them do their own thing. And the show is about exactly that, just like my first experience of just letting him kind of find his own way, which you know he's gonna make many mistakes, which that's exactly why I was 2 minutes late from our meeting today, is because we were talking about exactly that. But our manager Vic Serra, he put together a bunch of pictures from our fans of them with their little guy or little girl, be it a son or a daughter, or, you know, a fur baby, or, you know, a niece or nephew, you know, someone, some tiny being that they've seen grow. And, it's a beautiful, thing to see that. But it's also very hard. It's hard work. So.
Yeah. You got me. You got me about to tear up, honestly, thinking about my daughter. I'm like, no, don't grow up. She's going to be 7. And I'm like, this happened so fast. How are you already almost 7? And I'm like, no, don't turn 12. Don't turn 13. No. Oh man. Yeah. Yes. It's one of those. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to have to just listen to your song and just release. Yeah. Let it go.
Release. Yes. And that's I think what comes to mind like just now is that movie Into the Woods, where at the end sounds really bad, but like the witch lady is always like, it sings a song about, all kids do is grow up and they love you and then they leave you. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be that. I don't want to have that in my head. Like, okay. You have to keep in mind like the beautiful, wonderful things that you've done, but it certainly is a thankless, it's kind of a thankless job, but at the same time, like you have all these beautiful memories and, you know what you've done for them. And there's a certain amount of time where they will leave you but they always come back from what I hear, because I've been asking people advice about like this time, where's he going? Is he going to come back to me? And they always come back to you, because they remember what you've done. And there's nothing like being a mom or dad, or there's nothing like being that person for another human being for an extended period of time. And when they need you the most, you're the one that they come to. And that is a gift. And that's like nothing I've ever experienced before, but it's, you know, it's a process. You gotta, just like anything, you know. So
yeah, you gotta, yeah, it's a weird thing too, because you would think doing the exact same thing that the kids did, you know, that you would be able to accept it. It's like, I left home and I just did my own thing. I remember being 15 and like starting to just like go out and be gone the entire weekend and stuff, and like just coming home on, you know, Sunday night and just like going to bed and like waking up and I'm going to school, and it's like, oh man, I haven't really seen, you know, my parents in a while, but
yeah,
I'm trying to live my life, right. You know. So yeah, it's one of those things, but that's awesome, and that's the magic of art. And songwriting, where you can take these life experiences, you can take these thoughts that you've had where you're sitting around by yourself just pondering, and and then transform it, you know, into something that can emotionally affect someone else and make someone else feel how you were feeling, or, you know, have the same thoughts or similar thoughts to what you were having. You know, it's like being an alchemist in a way, and it's a really, really cool thing. You know, I dabble with music a little bit. I don't have a very good voice, but I, you know, rhyming and things like that is something that I enjoy. And just even songwriting, I like to do. Like I said, I don't have a good voice, so I don't necessarily highlight that at all. But from time to time, I do dabble. And my brother has given me some good advice and some good pointers and some motivation. That's like, oh man, maybe I'm all right with that. If I could sing, I would definitely show people. But it's an amazing thing to just be able to create and, you know, have people feel what you feel.
There's a big career in songwriting. You know, there, you don't have to be. And I think this is something that in my later years, which I'm creeping up on, like I would love to just be a songwriter when I can't perform anymore, and I'll perform as much as I possibly can until I can't anymore. But that's, you know, that's where it's at for me. Like, and it's not necessarily to me, making music for other people, but to be yourself and to be to know that music is a therapy for you, and it's an outlet, and what you do within yourself, you translate it into a song, and it's there just for you. The cherry on top is you put it out there, and people, like you said, people attach to it. That's a beautiful thing. Of course. And I think that people tend to attach to songs that are from your guts. And, you know, if you're not just into what's popular or what's hot or what, you know, what's cool, if you're really looking to music for an outlet or something to connect to, that as a musician is like golden, is to have, and we've had many fans reach out to us. Like I say, I wrote a song about being in love with someone, but and being in a relationship with them, and then having a love and being in love with someone else at the same time. Like that is, I think, I don't know if everybody has experienced that, but it's possible for everybody to be in love with two people at the same time. That's what I believe, or infatuated with at least, which can mask as love. But a person just, you know, they're like, please don't tell anybody I said this, but I absolutely love that song. I've never felt this way before. And it's so nice to have somebody who feels the same way that I do. Right. And that, you know, that was a hard song for us to make, because it's not really polite to be in love with someone else when you're in a relationship and in love with someone else. So,
but it's real, you know, yeah. And honestly, probably happens more times than people expect, you know. I mean, honestly, to be 100% honest, I have been in that situation before. And it's just one of those things where you what do? You know, it's a very tough situation to be in, especially when it is kind of frowned upon, you know. Where do you really go? Who do you reach out to? Who can you, you know, if you talk to your friend, and, you know, is your friend that is now friends with the person that you are in a relationship with, are they going to go back and relate? It's a very difficult situation to be in. To have at least a form of content that you could go to, that can actually, you know, you can at least maybe know that someone else feels the same way that you feel, you know, where you don't feel like you're in isolation.
Normal. Yeah, for sure. It makes you feel like, you know, it's not just you. And that's a comfort in itself and I'd really love to get into more of that. I think that was on our first album, and that was really kind of the first exposure to something a little deeper than, you know, I love you, you love me, you know, like basic kind of love songs that you can make a little easier. I really want to delve deeper into the human condition and like social situations that's going on right now. I think that's going to be my focus, at least for the next year or so, because I'm, you know, just like anybody else, it's, you know, this is a time where reflection is necessary. I don't care who you are, everybody needs to see what they can do and how to make it better, you know.
Yeah. It's those, and it's the difficult conversations and it's the difficult topics that people really gravitate towards, you know? I mean, I love bubblegum music. Everybody loves bubblegum music. It's catchy, you know, it sounds good on the ears. It's easy to tap your foot to. But a lot of people really want substance as well, you know? You know, a lot of people want to be involved in these difficult discussions or this difficult subject matter. You know, a lot of people want to hear that type of thing. You know, a lot of people want to feel like their actual life experience is being talked about, you know, or being sang about. People actually recognize what is going on in people's lives. And when everything is just, you know, glitz and glam, everything's positive, you know, it's good because you definitely need that positive reinforcement, but there has to be a balance. And that balance is what a lot of people are looking towards, you know, and we see it locally here. Like, that's what people are gravitating towards. When it comes to people's content, people are gravitating towards those people, those individuals that are being real, they're staying true to themselves and aren't just doing things because they know it's the easiest way to do it, you know. They're talking about the things that people are actually talking about, you know, and not in a way that's kind of directing people in a certain way. You know, people want those raw, those real conversations, and not those conversations that are just being brought up because it's like, well, we have to talk about this because this is what people are talking about. It's like, no, we want the real conversation.
It's yeah. the casual conversation. It's that phobia again. It's the sit in an elevator and what, well, how's the weather? Meow, meow, meow. You know, right. Like, no. We can't do that anymore. We gotta do better. Yeah.
We gotta start with some introductions. Say, hey, my name is, nice to meet you. Go right. forward from there. We're in the elevator now. Let's talk. You know, I like right. your shoes. Where do you get your shoes from? Oh, that's cool. What kind of leather do they use in those shoes? Actually, it's not leather. I don't support leather. You know, it's just. It's sure. easy to you know, tumble into an actual conversation with substance by just saying something quick and easy to someone, you know? Right. It just being open to having the conversation and not being fake about it, saying, oh, hey, hello, good, how you doing? And when you don't really care, you know, I think that's yeah. the most American thing, right, that people highlighted. Like, we always say, how's it going? But we never yeah. expect a response from anyone because we don't really care. Let's actually care. It's, you know, point out something that you like on someone if they have nice shoes on, cool earrings in or something like that. Like, oh, hey, I like your hairstyle. That looks cool. Where'd you get your haircut? You know, there's so much yeah. that you could do to just be a good person without actually even really having to do too much. Talking doesn't really expel that much energy unless you're on an oxygen tank, then I would understand, you know, but you know, we're all people. We can all, if you can't talk, then I understand. But even like a head nod and a smile, you know, stuff yeah. like that, you know, let's yeah. take off the stern exactly. faces and, you know, let's just all be cool to each other.
Yeah. I like that. You're very inspiring. Thank you for your work, man. We've been following you for a while now, and I think this city is a little bit better because of you. So keep doing what you're doing, and I hope to talk to you again. I hope to maybe write you a little theme song. Maybe you got to send me just a couple ideas of like who you are as far as like genres of music, and we can hook you up.
Wow. Oh man, that would be amazing. You guys heard it here, right? So you guys heard it. It's gonna happen. We're gonna have an official intro song by Betsy Aid and the Well Known Strangers. It's gonna be awesome. I promise you guys. So I definitely appreciate that. You don't know how like that. Like, I know people have been reaching out to me. People appreciate what I do. I honestly appreciate it. I just feel like I'm just being the type of person that I would want to interact with, you know? And if I could do anything, yeah. you know, they always say lead by example. So that's literally all I'm doing. So like, I appreciate all of the kind words, but literally I'm not really doing too much other than just not being a dick, you know? So, but I definitely appreciate it. But, you know, people like that's you, good. You know, people like yourself, you know, you do the exact same thing. You know, music is probably more influential than people just speaking. You know, you actually can get into people's psyche. You can actually, you know, help people through the toughest times. You know, words can help with that as well. But I mean, the yeah. music it motivates you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. I think it starts the conversation. I think that, you know, not to be too, you know, quotey, but I think that music really is the universal language. And I think that depending on what you're looking for, and I'm a big lyrics person, so lyrics speak to me 100%. So I try to put a lot of thought an effort into what I'm saying and how I'm saying it so that it impacts, so that it works with the music that is being created around me. But it starts it, but, you know, talking is a thing, you know, you get after something sparks a conversation, you gotta have the guts enough to keep it going. And I really hope that we do this, because man, it's hard to see our city, you know, like it was. And I know like there's a lot of beautiful things that have come about from it, and I don't know. I hope it's a start of a good thing. So
it will be. I'm positive that a lot of good and a lot of positive things are going to come from this. We're already starting to see it, and it's just going to be more and more. So we don't have to worry about that. But let's continue to put it in the ethos so it doesn't go the other way, because it is possible for things to, you know, backtrack. So let's just keep on being positive. Let's keep on moving forward, and let's get the city to where we want it to be, you know?
Yeah.
So, agreed. There's things that we need to do after this whole pandemic is over. I mean, I imagine you're playing a show on the 24th, but I imagine you would like to be able to have full capacity at a show, you know?
Right.
And I imagine you would like more and more venues and things like that. So we need to keep pressing forward. You have to do, you know, what we have to do to remain positive and move forward and grow, continue to grow, because this city has so much potential when it comes to the arts, or just as a city as a whole. You know, there's so much potential here. We've been growing exponentially, and we're going to continue to grow. So let's keep on growing in the right direction, you know. But so on the 24th, you have a show, right? That's at 58 Below?
Yep, 58 Below. We will probably play about 2 hours to maybe 2.5 hours. We're going to be outside. We've had a couple shows outside at 58 Below before. And there's plenty of space for people to pull up a chair. There's little groups of tables. So if you're worried, and I've seen plenty of people with masks, so they're very responsible over there. And it's going to be a great show. They have great artists coming in and out of that bar, and they've done a wonderful thing making that bar very hometown friendly, and so we've always had a great time playing there. So we'll start around 7. We may have an opener, but we'll see. So
awesome.
I hope you guys come out and join us.
Yeah, I definitely am gonna check it out, so I will see you there. That will be very cool. So I love live music. It's like one of my favorite things to do, like, and it's been pretty rough for me, honestly. I saw a show right before basically everything shut down, and that was the last thing I saw, and I was like, man, I've just been dying to see some live music. So I will definitely be out there with you guys to check everything out, to hear your amazing voice, and to see you guys just rip it out there. So I look forward to it. Cool. Betsy, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk to me. This was amazing. It was a great talk. After everything with the pandemic and everything, is we have this all figured out. We have a spot that we're looking at to start doing in-person interviews. So I hope, you know, once we start doing the in-person interviews, you come through and we have another one of these talks, get an update on everything that you've been up to and stuff like that.
Okay, I'd love to. Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation, and I hope you have many more, because there's a lot that you can give. So I appreciate you. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course, anytime. And if you ever need anything from me, you know how to get a hold of me. Just reach out. Yeah. Anything I can do to help you out, I definitely will do as well. You know, it's about, like I said, growth. You know. Let's help each other. Let's get each other to the places where we deserve to be, honestly. You know, you're a fantastic musician. You guys have been putting in a lot of work, and I mean, it's just, let's just keep it going, you know? So anything that I can do to help you out, please believe, just reach out and I will help you out however I can.
Awesome. Okay.
We'll talk and to you also, and the intro. I do want the intro though.
Yeah. So just text me or message me like maybe like three different vibes of, okay, of song, and we'll figure it out for you.
All right, cool. Awesome. Thank you so much again, Betsy. You've been amazing. Okay. Everybody, please make sure you check out Betsy Aid and the Well-Known Strangers. Go on iTunes, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can find music. Go on YouTube.
Yep.
Keep on, let's replay their music videos over and over. They're great. And also, would you like them to follow you on social media anywhere?
Instagram, yeah, anywhere. You can follow Betsy Aid Music or Well-Known Strangers. Betsy Aid and the Well-Known Strangers we're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, the major platforms there. So
nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Make sure you guys go follow Betsy and the Well-Known Strangers, and we will catch you guys in the next episode. You've been amazing. Until then, I've been Corey Elijah. Have a good night. Peace.
Thanks, Corey.